You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
You can't stop it.
I just said the gate.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased.
What are you trying to say?
I'm so into you.
I really don't really care.
What?
Next message.
We're still here. Look at my cat.
Get off the cat.
You son of a bitch.
Enjoy it.
ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
Where's that?
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
End of message.
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
Next message.
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Seriously, guys, four.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out.
End of message.
You look so good right now, you son of a bitch.
Next message.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Get in touch. We got to talk about it.
Horrible. Give us a call. 646-915-9228.
DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
That's what it is. Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Gotta go big. Really, really big.
Okay, we are Dave and Giggles. We like to cover all aspects of life and culture, art. One aspect we really enjoy and brings a different level to the show is music. Today we'll look back on some of the musicians we've had in the studio. We'll hear some of the interviews and a few songs from some of our favorites. The first guest I'd like to introduce is singer-songwriter John Shannon. John came on our show about a year back and impressed us with his songwriting, just overall angelic voice. He also talked with us a little bit about his vision quest. Really fascinating stuff to get into the mind of John to hear him talk about how 4 days without food in the desert changed him as a musician. Here's John's version of Paul Simon's Graceland.
Mississippi Delta is shining like a national torch. I'm following the highway down the river to the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companion is 9 years old. He's the child of my first marriage. I have reason to believe we both will be received in Graceland. She comes back to tell me she's gone. As if I didn't know that. As if I didn't know my own bed. As if I'd never noticed the way she brushed her hair from her forehead. She said, losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody knows you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companions are ghosts in empty sockets, looking at ghosts in empty years. But I have reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. There's a girl in New York City, she calls herself the human trampoline. And sometimes when I'm falling, tumbling and turning in turmoil, I say, oh, so this is what she means. She means we're bouncing into Graceland. And I said, losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody knows you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. For reasons I cannot explain, there's a part of me that wants to see Graceland. And I may be obliged to defend every love and every ending. Maybe there's no obligations now. I have reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. All will be received in the land. Hey, hey, hey.
John Shannon, thank you, sir.
Yes.
Kick ass.
He's good. This guy's good. Oh, I love
it. That's why we got him on our show.
Ah, this is great. So have you done something like this before, like just talking and playing, or are we not the first?
I've done a few, totally, but it's not. This is a unique experience because you guys are
That's pretty much
special.
What we get from everybody.
You know, I got to tell our listeners at home, if you can, if you got, people around, you're listening around the radio, you got, more than 2 to 3 people listening, you don't have to use headphones, but for headphones on this,
that sounds amazing.
You sound great on headphones. I took them off because I was like, all right, let me check, mid song how this sounds live. It sounds great live, but to get into it, you kind of gotta get the headphones on.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just the fact that
you're a passionate man.
I'm a passionate. It's great.
Brings it closer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It brings us.
I think it's something that we walk around the city with our headphones on all the time, and we tune out the world.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about headphone music because, there was growing up, I don't remember listening to headphones as much as, when iPods came out. And
right, right.
Like, there was a gap. I think, in the 70s, everybody was kind of had those huge, gigantic headphones.
Okay.
And then the 80s came, and everyone had boomboxes. Mm. So everybody was just, music was everywhere. Then iPods came out, and then headphones came out.
Came back, yeah.
So, but regardless of that, I want to get into Vision Quest. Tell me about Vision Quest. Because, everyone's heard of Vision Quest. The idea of it.
I got into it was when I was a teenager, I started going to this place called the Tracker School with this guy, Tom Brown Jr.
Case Files of the Tracker.
Yeah,
yes!
Yeah, you know that book, yeah.
This guy gets better and better. He gets better and better.
So Tom Brown teaches, wilderness survival, living with the earth, very American Indian concept, not in a military way, but just learning how to live with the earth, how to track, how to scout, kind of a lot of spirit stuff. And
he has a game too where he isn't in the book where he talks about the game where he creeps up on a deer and slaps it on the ass. That's kind of his game for tracking and being stealth and all that.
Yeah. Which is pretty intense.
Really intense. So go on.
The whole being invisible in the wilderness and stuff and not causing any waves to go out the way you walk. So all this kind of mind stuff. And it just really, through that, I just started to really connect to the kind of American Indian culture and living on this land and all that. And so then it came to me that I felt like I needed to Vision Quest. Mm-hmm. And what a Vision Quest is it's, and I think actually every culture, every earth culture in the world has a form of this, probably in Africa and India. It's definitely mostly known here with the American Indians. And it's just, you're in a circle, around a 10-foot circle made of whatever, sticks and stones. And you're in there for 4 days. It's like a 4-day fast. There's no food and you just have water.
That's it.
That's it. And the common misperception is that there's psychedelics involved, but there's not.
Well, without food for 4 days, you're probably going to have some kind of hallucination. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
You'd be pretty right.
It would. You alter. From a scientific perspective, you could say that the vibrations of nature, when you go out into nature and you're there for a day or more, you just mellow out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
So there's some that's kind of in the natural concept of it, is that you're not putting any food in your system, so you really start to merge with the vibrations of nature, you know, and through that you come to just a deeper understanding of who you are, what you're doing here. I mean, it's like a, you know, you could call it like a prayer, for maybe a lack of a better word.
Well, spiritual. Just
it's just it's a spirit thing. I mean, and literally, spirit is just finer vibration. So back to that, it's just tuning yourself to the spirit of nature, but it's for a purpose as well. It's like it's far from recreational. You know, it's to, you know, I mean, for me, it's a lot. Everything I do is about my music and how then that whole experience and what I'm bringing to the world through my music. And so, yeah, I've done that a few times, and it's probably not an experience for everyone, but it's a powerful experience, you know.
If you can share, was there like a sentence that came to mind at the end of it? You're like, this is just the thing that's just repeating itself in my mind. Is this like, did you have some sort of awakening, or just it was like, all right, that was good, great, thanks, and I'm gonna move, I'm gonna get back to work, or were you, you know,
right?
Did you have a couple of days to decompress?
Well, you know, to be honest, the best way to put it is, you first go in there, and what you realize right away is your mind wants to go to the past or the future, and you start to see that all it does is race back and forth to the past, to the future, to the past, and you see that after about 4 hours, because you're going, it's like you're going from the physical into the spirit, but you're taking the hard road because you're going through time. So it's like the hours are like days.
Yeah.
And so you observing that with your mind is like the first kind of breakthrough that I guess I had. But from that point on, it's really hard to communicate what happened after that.
Yeah.
Just get a little weird after that.
Like, what's, you know, what's a thought, what's real, what's a dream? It all, you know.
And you're just hanging out in nature. That's just
totally. But
exactly. After, it's so just like being in nature.
But you're surrounded by people. So you have other people there with you, right?
No.
Or you're just alone.
Well, the first time I went, this young curandero, like, kind of Mexican.
Last. I would not last at all. I'd freak out. Oh God!
Somebody took me in the first time I went. Other times I've gone in, I've just gone myself.
So you just have like a spirit leader,
This guy I met through a friend who takes people into this area in Southeast Arizona, and we just went, me and him, the first time I went. The second time.
But the first time, let's get back on the first time real quick. So you go in with a guy and you're hanging out with him for the 4 days, right?
Yeah.
What? How does communication devolve after 4 days?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not hanging with him at all.
Oh, you go on your own.
He's like, he's kind of holding a space for me.
He's making sure nobody like jumps in on your stuff.
He drove us in there. I mean, there's nobody around except for.
But like keeping hikers away from you, because if I want to go on a vision quest, I don't want some family of hikers.
I think you're worried more about snakes and scorpions in Arizona
and cougars
more than people.
There were no people around. This is a super remote area. No hikers.
So he just goes, all right, buddy, you go that way. I'm going to go this way. I'll meet you in 4 days.
He basically holds a camp for 4 days, and I go off and find a circle.
Does he have the same thing going on himself, or is he just like hanging out camping?
No, he's like what I would call it, holding the space.
Holding the fort.
Though, you know, something he said to me was, I can only... I don't have power over certain things like the cougar. So, you know.
It's going to be freaky.
Did you want to quit after a couple days? Or?
Oh, I'd already gone so far into it. You know, I mean, I'd already gone that far.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have made sense. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
This is crazy. I want to do this. Maybe I'll hit a dose of reality.
I'll hold your fort. I'll hold it down.
Hold my space.
But you don't want to have me holding the fort down. No. I would screw with you so much.
It's true.
So you said in your in that that thing that I read, after my vision quest, my music and my life became more clear to me.
Mm.
What was so cloudy before? Like, what was the clarity?
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's a vision quest, right? So like. I mean, our whole lives, we're just developing our vision of who we are and what life is. And it's like a sledgehammer approach to that, to your, you know, spiritual perception, you know. It really is. It's like a sledgehammer approach.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it just hits you hard and hits you fast.
Well, it just, you know, some of it is just hard to put into words, like how it just, it helped something maybe in the sound, you know, maybe it was the way I was hearing, I could hear clearer, and so that affected the sound that I was making, you know.
I'm on a vision quest, hold on.
So, all right, so if what is going on? Why are you moving? So this is the thing that interests me the most, I think, as being a musician myself, how did you hear your music change from before you did a vision quest to after?
Yeah, it's there's no hard and cold answer to that, because it's just all such a process. The way what happened in those 4 days, how it kind of starts to become a part of my life. It's like every day after that. It's like every day, in a lot of ways, because you every day I'm still there.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Because it was so.
But can long. You can could. We go back, listen to your music before and hear a difference, or is it like
it wasn't like a genre change, right. No. It was more
it was like you were playing Nirvana type stuff and then all of a sudden you're back
into like Indian music.
Nice.
Like Garth Brooks to Chris Gaines, you know. It wasn't like a change like that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You like that?
So I would say it's subtle, but maybe over time it'll become even less subtle. It's hard for me to say on the inside, yeah.
John Shannon. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me, man.
This is awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
DavidGiggles@gmail.com.
The next band I want to get into is Alana Amram and the Rough Gems. Alana grew up with Dave, and they've known each other since they were about 2 feet tall. Alana came in with their band, and nothing was off limits. We talked a little bit about life and love on the road, and they also gave us a very hauntingly beautiful version of their song, Painted Lady. Enjoy.
You guys have any cutting questions?
Sure. What about love on the road?
Love on the road?
Love on the road.
Meeting love, finding love on the road?
And it, like, you're like pointing out people. Give me a good on the road story that's really.
With this band?
Yeah.
I always had a boyfriend whenever I was in this band.
And now you don't?
No.
Single. What happened?
You don't. That's.
That's cutting question.
That's a cutting question.
That's a cutting question. You told me to ask it, so I'm going
to
ask.
Well, she told you to ask it because there was
a
dead
story.
Silence.
How
with
much
the
time
radio.
Do we have?
We got all the time you want. We'll sit here all night if you want.
I don't know.
Yes.
There's handsome men and women everywhere you go, even in this room.
So give me a good on the road story.
On the road story?
Yeah.
We showed up. I booked this show in Omaha, Nebraska.
All right.
We showed up and I booked it through the internet, and then we get there and I'm like, when do we play? I don't know. Where's the place we pull in? It's called the Urban Lounge, you know.
Oh, that
it's
sounds.
It's a martini bar.
Sexy.
So we show up and there's a senior citizen swing band playing before us.
Oh God!
With those like pedestal things,
oh, God.
That like they're standing behind. They're doing like Kwando and all those other some big band stuff. And I was like, oh shit!
Wow.
We're next. And so I went to go move the van and there's like this car backing. My brother was on tour with us playing drums and there's a car backing up into us. This guy had like 35 martinis and was like driving. He was probably 70 or something. And his license plate said Jazz Liver. So Jazz Liver fucking backed into our van.
Oh, no.
Like 70 miles an hour. And, you know, we're from New York, so we don't give a shit if somebody hits your bumper. You
sure.
Just kind of laugh. And we had a big
roll
old, you know, E350 Ford, giant Econoline van. So we're like, well, we're just laughing because we're like, Jazz Liver's wasted and just like totaled his, he
Jazz
just
liver.
Totaled his like weird car. And then we played, cleared the room.
Everybody left.
Yeah, everybody left, but we ended up staying with this kind of strange gay man, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and he was standing over me, and I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I had to get my gun, because it was next to me, and he didn't want me to grab it by accident while I was sleeping.
Where did you meet this said gay man?
He owned the club and, like, put us up, because we had no place to
so
stay.
So in the middle of the night, he gets up, and you wake up, and you see him wandering
around. He was just standing
around.
Over me.
And I got to get my gun.
Yeah, and he was just like, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm getting my gun because it was just next to you and I wanted to make, you know, I didn't want to leave it next to you. And I was like, good thing in case I thought my phone was ringing or something. You know.
Grab a gun, shoot it.
Whoops.
Oh God, that's not funny.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move into another song. And I'm going to say this.
It was good. It was short-lived.
We're only halfway
I am getting a little bit of, I'm going to say, can you turn down channel 4 a smidge?
And like then tell the bass guitar.
And then I want to say it to Alana. You don't have to sing right into the
okay.
to the microphone because you were getting
it
a little scraggly.
Really good though, so I'm like,
sure you do.
It smells.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about smell. But just you don't have to sing right on top of it because you did lie about how loud you were going to sing
okay.
before.
I'm sorry.
So
This song's called Painted Lady. This is off of our first full-length record, Painted Lady.
Gems.
Painted Beautiful. Lady.
Painted Lady.
Right? Correct?
That is correct.
DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
Lastly, but probably one of the more soulful musicians we've had in the studio, is the one and only John Liddell. John has made a name for himself in the New York circuit and has probably played with every band touring today. He got lost on the way to the studio, but picked up one of the house guitars and played a very folksy One More for the Road. John Liddell.
All right, John. So, coming from a very American roots type of music, what were some of your influences when you started playing?
Before you answer this, just know that Dave really, really, really wants to be like a music host. Like, this is his dream, all right? So, he's going to ask these lofty questions,
sure,
like
music
influences,
questions.
And I he's going to try to give, like, band references and things like that. But see, I don't want to be a music critic, you know? I
never said I want to be a music critic. I like hanging out with musicians. I like talking about music.
I don't know. I think like the big three for me, you know, as a little kid was, you know, Led Zeppelin and Aerosmith and the Allman Brothers.
Those all right. Like my interesting. First, so who do you listen to that you're slightly embarrassed of? That you're like, oh, why am I got that like Yanni CD like on, you know.
You do have that.
I do have
that. That's a good question. I haven't been embarrassed by anything. I've listened to in a while.
So it's interesting to get back to before this one over here really sidetracked us. You got the Led Zeppelin Aerosmith. Aerosmith is an interesting one, by the way.
Yeah, that was my first concert.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So what'd you think when you saw those guys up on stage?
Oh, it blew my mind.
It blew your amazing. Mind. You were like, yeah. These guys are it.
Yeah.
All right. So then after that, who was the, because like we've all had those bands where, you know, they were there and they were cool and we were drawing them in our notebook. Who was the band that like made you go, oh, it's music is a lot deeper than I thought?
Wow, that's a good question.
Those are good questions.
Yeah. I know.
Jeez. Maybe Bob Dylan.
Dylan. Yeah. Dylan's a great one.
Yeah.
And then that makes more sense to me as to far where you've gone with your music.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I mean, when I listen to your stuff, it's much more roots like Dylan oriented. I hear like a lot of Allman Brothers, definitely, because you sat down and you started playing the slide, and who doesn't love a good slide guitar?
Yeah.
But that root stuff, that folky stuff, is definitely, I feel, more towards your angle. Mm. So,
true.
All right, John, so play us a little song. Good question, Sergio.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Giggles, John Lindell.
It'd be good if your mic was up. Why don't you do it again?
Ladies and gentlemen, David Giggles with John Lindell.
Sing no lower, my head is laying low to ground. I can't find nobody, tell me where I've been. I will go out and look around. Take a shot at nothing and let it pass me by. Leave it there for someone else to try. Taking nothing for something, though I leave it where it lies. Some things look better passing by. I take one more shot out of strong whiskey. Send me slowly rolling down the road. These feelings, these dealings I get myself into. Sometimes I don't know just what to do. Into. Sometimes I don't know just what to do. Ooh, these feelings, these dealings I get myself into. Sometimes I don't know just what to do.
Thanks to all the musicians who've come on the show, and we look forward to having many more to come. You can check out full shows of these musicians and other shows we've done at www.davingiggles.blogspot.com or directly at davingiggles.podbean.com. You can check the site out for upcoming stuff and whatever else we've got going on. Come back and check us out next time, and we'll see you then. Dave and Giggles. Later.